AM 790 Talk and Business presents Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next water fire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community. Now, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
Well, and good afternoon, and welcome to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island, the newest one-hour talk show and entertainment program on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And every Wednesday, we will be here bringing you behind the scenes and giving you some highlights of what's to come at the upcoming lightings. We've got a really wonderful lighting coming up this Saturday, and I am joined by my co-host, the artistic director, Barnaby Evans of Water Fire. Hello.
Hello, Brahman, and hello, everybody. Delighted to be here.
I know. What a beautiful day outside, huh?
It is.
And I hear it's going to be just as beautiful this upcoming Saturday when we have our next lighting.
It's going to be gorgeous this Saturday. Very 82 and a low of 64. Should be very nice.
Perfect weather. Perfect weather for a great night, a great cause, and today we've got a great show because we'll be giving you an exciting preview of the very special water fire this weekend, which is all about C is for Cure, and it's a water fire lighting for Rhode Island Defeats Hep C, and we've got an incredible guest with us today. Her name is Dr. Lynn Taylor. She is from Rhode Island Defeats Hep C, and Dr. Taylor was awarded a Rhode Island Innovation Fellowship entitled Rhode Island Defeats Hep C. She is a viral hepatitis, HIV, AIDS, and primary care physician focusing on prevention and treatment of HCV and hepatitis B viruses in vulnerable populations and on primary care of people living with HIV. So just an amazing body of work. I've met you and been talking to you now for months, and I've got to tell you, probably one of the most amazing women I have ever met.
Well, thank you for saying that, Bronwyn. Thank you for having me. Thank you to Barnaby Evans and Waterfire. It is such a privilege to be here today, and thank you to AM 790. I'm inspired every day by people that I get to take care of who are living with hepatitis C and fighting hepatitis C and striving to be cured. So this is an incredible opportunity to raise awareness about this silent and very important epidemic that's peaking now in the United States and globally. I do want to begin by thanking John and Letitia Carter and the Rhode Island Foundation for the Rhode Island Defeats Hep C Innovation Fellowship, which has really facilitated this water fire lighting on Saturday.
Well, I know, and what we, you know, when you, I think it was about a year ago, you were on the road show and you announced we're having a water fire next year, and we're just going to take Hep C and we're going to let people be aware. There are so many misconceptions about Hep C, and there's so much information that needs to be relayed. One of the most amazing things that I remember when I first met you that you said to me was one in every 30 baby boomers has the HCV virus, which is...
That is true, and it is surprising. Every day people say, well, you know, Lynn, you must be exaggerating. It can't really be this common. It can't really be such a big problem. Otherwise, we would hear more about it. And in fact, the CDC has just, in the last year, shared with us that, in fact, as you mentioned, 1 in 30 people, baby boomers, that is people born from 1945 to 1965, has hepatitis C. So this is really everyone's issue.
And don't realize they have it. That's one of the key, this is one of the sort of hidden epidemic issues, is that the disease is there, and now we have some very very successful cures, but many people don't have symptoms, so they don't realize they're a carrier.
Yeah, thank you so much, Barney, for making that important point. That is one of the reasons, among many, why we call hepatitis C the silent epidemic, because we don't feel anything when we catch this infection. And then for many years, we feel fine. And the only way any one of us will know that we harbor hepatitis C is by getting a very simple, quick, safe test. But it's estimated by the CDC, and this is probably a conservative estimate, that 3/4 of Americans with hepatitis C are unaware. And so it's so common. We all have a grandparent, a parent, a sibling, a coworker, a neighbor. We all have someone in our lives with hepatitis C, so we really appreciate the opportunity to get the word out so we can all go, those of us who are baby boomers especially, and get tested.
What is it about the baby boomer generation that has exposed that generation to Hep C more than others?
So we did not know about this virus until 1989. So that those of us growing up in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, lived at a time where we didn't have infection control practices. Hepatitis C is not transmitted, not spread at all through casual contact. It can't be spread through touching one another or hugging or kissing or sharing eating utensils or toilet seats. But during all those years when hepatitis C was around, there could have been medical practices that spread the infection. When people got colonoscopies, when people got blood transfusions, we didn't test the blood supply for hepatitis C till 1992. It really wasn't until 89 when we learned about the virus and 92 when the blood supply was tested that we could implement practices that would stop the spread in many medical and other types of settings.
And what I wanted to reinforce here is although it's symptom-free and can be symptom-free for many years, when symptoms do arrive, it can lead to death. It could be a very complicated and difficult disease to treat. Until recently, we have some good solutions. But I think once the symptoms arrive, it's a little late to intervene. That's why it's
right.
So important to know now.
That's right. That's one of the cruel aspects of this disease is that by the time we feel things, by the time people say, hey, you know what? Why are my legs getting so swollen? And of course, our legs can be swollen for other reasons. Or why are the whites of my eyes turning yellow? Or why is my belly getting so big? And of course, there are a lot of other reasons why our belly can be getting swollen. But by the time we feel these things, it may be that we're finding the disease in very advanced form. And we do see people frequently coming to the hospital with bleeding and cancer of the liver, all these very late complications of hepatitis C that could have been prevented had we detected the illness in the stage where we had no symptoms. So it's very wonderful that we can get the word out so people can find out early on and get cured. Very beneficial. Cure lowers the chance that we'll develop any of these late-stage complications, including liver cancer and liver-related illness.
And I think that word cure is really what I'd like to focus on a little bit because there's been some incredible breakthroughs in treatment and in drugs. And I know it's been a lot in the news recently, but what was it? Interferon used to be the treatment before? Or?
Absolutely. We have really been thwarted in treatments for hepatitis C. As a matter of fact, even a few years ago, if you said hepatitis C was curable, you were considered a quack. People didn't even accept that
right.
a virus
That's
could be
right.
cured with medication. All that we had one choice for treatment. And of course, nobody, you know, one size never fits all with health and illness and wellness. We need many options for different individuals. All we had was interferon, which is a very toxic, difficult, often dangerous injection that we had to give to people once a week for up to a year.
Right.
And I have
with
certainly...
With many complications
absolutely.
And difficult for people to stay on schedule. And
even if we watch people closely, and I've certainly had patients say, hey, Dr. Taylor, the treatment wasn't that bad, but you were a pain in the neck the way you monitored me so closely. Even with the best care, we cause harm. I've had people had to be hospitalized. People can die from interferon. And then after all of this, this very rocky course, when you're asking someone who feels great and feels nothing to take a treatment that can make your hair fall out, make you depressed, make you homicidal, very difficult things, at the end of it, most people didn't get cured.
Right. It didn't have that successful cure rate. But this has completely changed. I just want to go back to the problem's initial opening there. This was several years ago. Now we have some very effective treatments.
Absolutely. And really, this is the first year in history that we can celebrate achievements in hepatitis C. This is the first year in the world that we have pills alone without the dreaded interferon injections that can cure most people most of the time. So I am grateful to all the companies and all the scientists working so hard to develop these new groundbreaking drugs. And I am grateful to Gilead for sponsoring WaterFire. And their medication, among others, is just as close to a miracle drug as anything I've ever seen. And it's such a joy as a physician to see my patients all week, people who've been on interferon 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, taking the pills and feeling great and getting cured.
Well, you know, and I think we're going to have to take a break in a little while, but one of the things that we're doing down at the lighting on Saturday is there will be a place for people to go down and get tested.
Free screening.
Free
screening for hepatitis C for anyone 18 or older. It's been made possible by a variety of people in the medical community. What's the group that's providing the test?
So screening? I'd like to thank the support of the Rhode Island Department
right.
of Health.
Right.
and AIDS Care Ocean State, led by Paul Fitzgerald and the head of prevention, Ray Joseph, Oz Lugo. We also have Dr. Amy Nunn and the Rhode Island Public Health Institute and Dr. Philip Chan from the Miriam Hospital collaborating together to provide hepatitis C testing. Very quick, free of charge.
And they'll take your information. They'll notify your doctor. It's a free opportunity, and this was the essence of what we were really trying to do, was trying to figure out how to open a new dialogue about a disease which not enough people know about and now has a very bright future.
And so when we come back, we're going to be telling people a little bit more about everything going on this Saturday. C is for cure. Remember that. You're listening to AM 790 and Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island. Hello, 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 and welcome back. You are listening to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island on AM 790 Talk and Business. I am here with Barnaby Evans and Dr. Lynn Taylor, and we are talking all about hepatitis C, C for cure, Rhode Island hepatitis defeats. I mean, we're defeats Rhode Island. What is it? C is for cure, Rhode Island defeats Hep C.
And actually, Dr. Taylor, I'd love to talk a little bit about this interesting thing that John and Letitia Carter did, the Innovation Fellowship, which you applied for a year and a half ago.
Yes.
And this is a program to promote interesting ideas that people in Rhode Island might use to change the community. And it's very selective. There were something like 200 applicants, and there were two grants given. And your idea was about really making a change in how this disease is perceived, understood, and treated in Rhode Island. And I'd love to hear just a little bit more about how you phrase that and what your goal is over this year and the next 3 years.
Sure, absolutely. Well, one of the other key components with the Rhode Island Innovation Fellowship was that we had to work to save money for Rhode Island and Rhode Islanders. And so a big goal here is to develop strategic, comprehensive, sustainable approaches to combating hepatitis C in Rhode Island so that we don't end up spending millions and millions and millions of dollars on liver transplants and on the very late complications.
Exactly.
We want to avert this economic disaster. Of course, we care about people's wellness and preventing suffering, but if we get involved now earlier on in the continuum of care, in preventing, in diagnosing, in treating, and curing, that we can save Rhode Island and Rhode Islanders millions of dollars.
And managing this whole understanding and expectation and public intervention, because although it's symptomless for a while, this is one of those stitch in time saves nine sort of situations that there's been some controversy because these new drugs involved a lot of research and hence there was cost in creating them. But the cost of the drugs is far less than the cost of the complications which we would have to treat anyway, with much better outcome for the patients. They can be cured and be healthy rather than being in a fairly compromised situation.
Yes, and that's why we have many different goals with Rhode Island Defeats Hep C, including keeping Rhode Island up to date with the very rapidly evolving best practices for hepatitis C testing and curative treatment. Most physicians don't know a lot about hepatitis C. It's not that complicated a virus. The virology is actually simpler than the virology of, say, hepatitis B or HIV. But we didn't get hepatitis C training in medical school and in residency. It really wasn't considered important or curable. And so, therefore, we're educating the medical community, the public health community, through the fellowship as we built up to our fire this Saturday night. With the help of the Rhode Island Innovation Fellowship, we were able to put on a conference at the Providence Omni on May 16th, which brought in leaders from around the United States on the economics of hepatitis C, on policies, on the new pills, and ways to strategically build a program in a state. And we really do have an opportunity in such a small collaborative state with so many educational institutions and great medical expertise to make every institution a hepatitis C institution. So we want to keep people up to date with the evolving treatments, the medical community as well as people who have hepatitis C. We want to develop very well thought out, deliberate structure to deliver hepatitis C care. And this involves changing medical records, electronic systems, harnessing technology at all the medical systems in Rhode Island to get the baby boomer screened. This involves developing on-site care for high prevalence populations. So, for example, I have the wonderful privilege of working with colleagues at Kodak Behavioral Health, Rhode Island's only nonprofit methadone maintenance program, where I'm able to provide on-site hepatitis C care. We are working to foster hepatitis C research in Rhode Island. The federal funding for research is not abundant for hepatitis C, but through creating more expertise and collaboration with many of our scientific and medical institutions, we can become more competitive, and we can compete then for the CDC and other grants that we haven't been able to before. So we're going to develop these strategic partnerships in Rhode Island with amongst our organizations.
And one of the things you did is the July issue of the journal, the Rhode Island Medical Journal, has a whole section about hepatitis C. It's the bulk of the issue.
So that is available electronically, and at the fire on July 26 at the Resource Tent area, we'll be providing people with a link to the journal. And we are very fortunate that so many different stakeholders around Rhode Island contributed. So we're grateful to the Health Department, led by Dr. Michael Fine and Dr. Nicole Alexander Scott. The Health Department wrote a piece about their strategic approach to hepatitis C. We had Dr. Brandon Marshall from the new Public Health School at Brown, with Elizabeth Kennard and an economist, Omar Galarraga, modeled the first ever estimates of how many people in Rhode Island actually have hepatitis C. And we estimate, and I again think this is a conservative estimate, that about 17,000 Rhode Islanders have hepatitis C. This is the first time we've ever really had a picture of that. Yeah. So we had articles about preventing hepatitis C, yeah, led by Paul Fitzgerald and Ray Joseph. So a whole array of articles that people in the public can access.
And part of what we'll be doing at Waterfire this coming Saturday, we will have free screening for anyone. So if you know someone who's a baby boomer or anyone 18 and older, it's an important thing to know. The results will be given to your doctor. And then you'll, you know, the responsibility of care will transfer over to your doctor, but there'll be a thoughtful, you know, a data point that's important for your future health.
And again, that'll be happening on College Street
That'll be
Bridge.
Happening on the College Street Bridge from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. on July 26th.
And there will also be a great resource tents there that'll more information, as Lynn was just saying, or Dr. Taylor was just saying. You know, stop on in, learn a little bit.
We're going to have eight tents with information from the Brown Medical School, from Gilead, from the Rhode Island Department of Health. Also, we have two organ transplants, the Rhode Island Blood Association. Around Blood Society, I think it is.
That's right. And we have materials, for example, from the CDC,
right,
in many different languages. We are so grateful that the head of viral hepatitis surveillance from the CDC, Dr.
Yeah,
Scott
coming up
Homer,
from Atlanta,
is
yeah,
coming up from Atlanta to lead our torch procession.
Yeah, and he'll be doing that. But he's also very interested in a statewide effort to make progress in this. I think this is the first state that's done this.
Yes.
I think this is probably the first arts group that's started to look at this issue. And I think it's a good example of innovative ways to get the message out, but innovative ways to provide public education and interaction over what could be a very serious health issue.
And yeah, we do want to use the arts community in Rhode Island. That's one of the very beautiful and unique aspects of life here in Rhode Island. So in addition to this great opportunity, Barnaby, with you, we began Rhode Island Defeats Hep C with a poster competition whereby RISD artist Shepard Ferry, right, was the judge of a poster competition. And we had two art students in Rhode Island that he selected. It was,
right,
of course, a blinded competition. Haywood Gatch, the fourth, who happened to be a graphic artist student at Johnson & Wales, won the first prize competition. And his poster design is being used for conferences and articles. And our second prize winner selected by Shepard Ferry is Brandon Bruzzi, who designed the T-shirt that I'm now wearing, Rhode Island Defeats Hep C. And our volunteers and our torchlighters will be wearing them and will be selling them.
And they'll be available for sale, absolutely, on Saturday to help spread this message even wider.
Yeah, and so part of the proceeds from the sales of these T-shirts go back to a foundation to help with research and development?
Yes, go back right back to Rhode Island Defeats Hep C.
Excellent.
To help the program get the word out. Other things we're doing, we're giving out forget-me-not seeds with reminders to send to people that have information about hepatitis C and some websites where they can learn more. And I believe the State House Dome is going to be deep yellow on from Friday for a week to help bring attention to these issues.
That's just cool.
I think that's an image that will be beamed around the world.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And you know, being World Hepatitis Day on the 28th, isn't that the day?
Yep.
Yes.
July 28th.
So
yep,
we did it first on the 26th, you know. So, that's Dr. Rhode Taylor, Island. Thank that's you so much for coming in and talking to us, and we cannot wait to see you on Saturday.
Thank you all so much for this wonderful opportunity.
You're listening to AM 790, Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island. We'll be right back.
Dr. Taylor, I think this has been very interesting to learn so much about this disease and the changes that's happening in it. But this is mainly a good news story. We have a very successful cure. We have a test that we're doing free screening for at Waterfire. We have a series of engagements to try to bring more attention to and information about the disease to people. And I want to thank you for your efforts in making this possible. But tell us how this really is a good news story.
The wonderful news is that treatments for hepatitis C are getting better and better and better. And over the next 1, 2, 3 years, we are going to have one pill once a day in 4 weeks, and almost 100% of people will be cured almost 100% of the time. So it's important that people know that this is not an emergency.
It's not a disease you easily get, but it's something that you may have encountered in your past, and we want to help you with your medical future to have your doctors realize that.
Right, and it's not a death sentence for most people. Most people die with hepatitis C, not of hepatitis C. We cannot pass hepatitis C or catch hepatitis C through casual contact at all.
Good.
And Barnaby, I think that we've got a caller on the line that's got a question for Dr. Taylor. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you today?
So far, so good, but it's early yet.
All right, and how can we help you?
I simply want to thank the good doctor. I'm especially because I have a brother with hepatitis C. I'm a Presbyterian minister and a clinical psychologist, and I also teach a course in post-traumatic stress disorder, recovery and suicide at Yale Medical School. I would like to know, Dr. Taylor, What are, so far at least, the policy coming out of the Vets Administration regarding hepatitis C? My own experience clinically at Yale is that a number of suicides are in fact related to etiology connected to depression and interferon.
So that's
a boatload for you.
So I wish your brother all the very best, and again, his future is very bright, and he should talk to his doctors about some of the new pills that will be available. The VA, the Veterans Administration, is the largest provider of hepatitis C care in the United States, and they are at the forefront. They are on the cutting edge. The VAs in the United States are doing a wonderful job with hepatitis C. There's wonderful leadership in Connecticut, your VA. We have wonderful leadership here with Dr. Melissa Gaitanis and Kittichai Promrat. Dr. Norbert Broy from the Bronx VA, for example, just came here to meet with us, and the VA is negotiating down prices for some of these new medications. The VA has the best electronic medical record in the country. They're systematically screening, identifying, and treating people with hepatitis C. So I think things will only get better and better for veterans. The VA is doing a beautiful job and will continue to do so for hepatitis C without interferon. We will just get rid of interferon. Let's throw that medication away.
Exactly. The other thing is, do we know yet, there certainly are no longitudinal studies yet, regarding any side effects as related to the Hep C good news cure?
None of the side effects, the dreaded side effects from interferon, are part of the new pills at all. So these new pills are very well tolerated, very safe overall. We don't have to worry about depression anymore.
Okay, well, that's good to know, and once again, thank you for your resolute and good work. And as a matter of fact, Dr. Chen is a good buddy of mine, and I understand he's going to be a torchlighter. So,
Dr. Philip Chen is one of our heroes, so yes, he'll be joining us.
He's great. And anyway, I'll see you down by the riverside.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much, Dr. Taylor. It's been a real privilege to work with you. I was at the dinner in your honor 2 months ago, and it was amazing to hear all these tributes to you from your students, from your colleagues. We're delighted to have an opportunity to help move the needle in new ways to bring public awareness of hepatitis C.
Well, thank you again, and any good work I've done here is due to the great colleagues and mentors I've had in medicine in Rhode Island. So thank you, Barnaby, for the opportunity. Thank you, Bronwyn.
One thing we should mention is your husband, Boris Bailey, is donating two pieces, which are going to be available by lottery for people who go down to be screened on College Street. And among the people who fill out the paperwork for that, they'll be choosing winners for several art pieces, which will be on display on Washington Street. So that's another way of tying the arts in.